Spread the love for Black founded brands, yeah. Found here at Walmart, straight into our hands.
The dew for curls keeping up their shine.
Share the love, yeah, share the love, yeah.
Bold and got my skin glowing so fine.
Black founded brands, we're feeling the vibe.
A dozen cousins, flavor can't wait to dine.
Shop now, show your love.
Discover all our Black-founded brands at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
We're going to change gears because we're going to go up to climbing Mount Everest and the situation in Nepal. Because it seems that technology is having an impact insofar as drones will be used this climbing season to carry equipment, food and supplies for climbers summiting to Mount Everest. It's seen as a safer alternative to Sherpas carrying the heavy equipment themselves. But there are concerns that this could destroy the livelihoods of many Sherpas. Joining us on the line now is Johnny Ward, travel blogger at onestepforward.com, who is the first person to complete the ultimate explorer's grand slam. So he's going to tell us the potential ramification of these drones. Good morning, Johnny. First of all, tell us, what is the explorer's grand slam?
It's an expensive lifetime of work is what it is. It's every country in the visit every country in the world, reach North Pole, South Pole, and climb the highest mountain in every continent.
How long did it take you to do that?
Well, I just turned 41 recently and I finished, 12 months ago or so. So, and I started straight out of university, so about 15 years.
Right. How would you fund that?
My blog, actually. I'm a blogger.
So tell us about One Step Forward.
In the world.
tell us about it, the blog.
Basically, I come from a single-parent family. My father was in prison. We were on welfare, blah, blah, blah. So then I started trying to travel on a shoestring and all the other, like, just in that first era of blogs before YouTube and Instagram and stuff, it was just all rich kids talking about all these expensive holidays, and I was doing it on the shoestring, and I wanted to show people from my kind of background that you could do cool stuff. And then 15 years later, I'm still ticking over.
Great. So tell us about in terms of, I've never been up Mount Everest, so just tell me, what's the climbing season? Is it for 6 months? You hear that it's so popular now that there's all sorts of waste problems and so on. So tell us the business model of climbing Mount Everest.
You can climb it once a year in March and April, or April and May. God, I did it last year. The window is about 2 months, and it takes 2 months to climb. And that's the only time where you get a weather window up at 8,800 metres that won't kill you, basically. There's normally about a week that you can make a run for it before it turns. And I'm sure people have seen movies and documentaries when the weather turns, it means death. So that's the best chance of having a week or so over those 2 months where you can have a pop at the summit.
And that's the only time in the 52 weeks of the year that you can climb it?
Yeah, there's a sketchier window that's just a matter of days in October, November that people don't really use unless they're absolute beasts.
So tell us about the setup in Nepal in terms of the support services.
So I went with a company called Furtenbach. They're a European operator and they're kind of the best in the business. And the way it works really is you take the 2 weeks up to base camp as the two-month schedule goes. And then at base camp, it's kind of a semi little mini town. Because you're based there for 6 weeks as you slowly make your way up and down the mountain to acclimatize. And at that level, there's a lot of local staff, both Sherpa and non-Sherpa, but all Nepali who help set up a camp because you're there for a couple of months. And then as you go higher up the mountain to Camp 4, Camp 3, Camp 2 and Camp 1, the stronger, like the Sherpa with experience at high altitude, then they slowly whittle away until you've only got the legends towards the top. And base camp itself is semi-comfortable. Not comfortable to someone sitting on their couch, but compared to other mountaineering, when you're doing other high mountains, it's normally miserable. And base camp at Everest is slightly less miserable because they've set up such a big infrastructure.
So to get an idea of the scale, several hundred people attempt to climb the 29,000-foot mountain and they would spend different times getting to the different graded levels of camp. How much would it cost for someone for those support services?
Spread the love for Black Founded Brands, yeah. Found here at Walmart, straight into our hands.
The dew for curls keeping up their shine.
Share the love, yeah, share the love, yeah.
Bold and got my skin glowing so fine.
Black Founded Brands, we're feeling the vibe.
A dozen cousins, flavor can't wait to dine.
Shop now, show your love.
Discover all our Black Founded Brands at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.
If you use local operators, Nepali operators, it's about 35 grand, 40 grand. And if you use the European operators, it's about 60, 70 grand. So it's quite an expensive undertaking.
And usually expeditions will be in groups of 10 or what?
Well, not really. It depends. Obviously, the operators are trying to sell tickets, but generally because people are dying every year and it's so dangerous, normally it's groups of twos, threes, fours, small groups.
Okay. So this idea of drones, just explain the concept first of all.
Right. Well, obviously, traditionally, the local teams, the Nepalis and the Sherpa Nepalis, would be helping bring stuff up the mountain as their livelihood. And then, let's say, for argument's sake, the average salary in the mountain region would be $200-$300 a month. Then the mountain operators, the good ones, pay these guys $1,000-$3,000 a month, and then $5,000-$8,000 for the ones that go up high. And it's hard work. It takes lots of people to bring up tents and months and months and months of food for tens of people. So the drone, I know people are talking about it from a safety perspective, but I'm sure it's about the bloody profit margin, because it means they don't have to hire an army of people to bring stuff up. You know, they could overnight clip a load of stuff to a load of drones and be done in a day, instead of taking weeks and weeks and weeks to set stuff up.
And so the drone technology, how heavy gear can they lift? Could they lift a person?
They can't do that yet, but I mean, it's only a matter of time, isn't it, while the drones get stronger. Historically, they haven't been able to do it because the altitude hasn't allowed them. The same as helicopter evacuations and all that haven't been able to be done up to base camp and beyond. Now they can go to Camp 4 and Camp 3 as the technology develops. But the thin air has stopped the upward pressure that the blades create, both for helicopters and for drones and whatever little sexy technological developments they've invented. The drones are going higher and higher.
Okay.
So it's allowing them to do it for the first time.
So you're concerned, Johnny, that if we move over to drones progressively and over time, the Sherpas will be losing their income, losing their jobs, and they don't have an alternative income.
That's I don't think it's a concern. I think that's just the literal black and white of it. The legendary mountain Sherpas, the ones that go up 8,000 metres and beyond to help set things up, they'll always have their jobs and they'll always be paid well. But it's like a pyramid, like any other system of work, that the cannon fodder at the bottom that make up the masses, they'll be the first to get culled because the drones will be able to drop stuff up. And yeah, I mean, they're up at the mountain. It's hard subsistence living, not on farms otherwise. So what can you do? You can't stop progress. I'm not keen for it, but I can see it developing.
So tell me about your own journey up Everest and how many Sherpas were involved.
You know, Sherpa's a specific ethnicity, right, within Nepal. I think people kind of get confused. Like, every Nepali's not a Sherpa. So Sherpa's a specific ethnicity within the mountains of the Nepali people. So the Sherpas are the ones who live in the mountains and live at high altitude. So they perform, as we go higher, they perform better than people who don't live at high altitude. But there's a lot of Nepali staff as well who work at lower altitudes where it's like not so taxing. It depends what kind of operation you have. If you go with a better operator, they would have well over 100 staff to help set up base camp. It's mostly base camp because that's the most developed structures that you deal with. As you go higher, you're just sleeping in tiny little tents on the side of the mountain. Then it's only a matter of like 3, 4, 5 people. But the setup to get to base camp, that's a big undertaking. And it's a whole village really set up where, let's say there's 100 operators or whatever every year. Everyone's got their own setup. That's thousands of people that would be setting up that camp at Everest Base Camp.
Now,
and they do that for 2-3 months in the lead up. So it's probably half a year's work.
I was reading the safety history, Johnny. In 1953, 50 climbers and Sherpas lost their lives. Then we move forward to 2014, an avalanche triggered. 16 Sherpas died. In 23, 3 Sherpas were buried under collapsing ice. What about the safety argument?
Yeah, I think that the companies are going to use the safety argument to justify and to actually say that it's the motivation behind it, but I'm sure it'll be profit driven. Think of the price difference. Sure, there will be less deaths, of course, because less people on the mountain means less deaths. But is it for us to make that decision? I think it's an individual choice whether people want to be on the mountain or not.
And they don't have any alternative income.
They have an alternative income in terms of subsistence living. So then it would be a personal choice. Do they want to graft on a farm at a subsistence level? And by all means, good luck to them. Or do they want to make their year's income in that 4 or 5 months and call it a day until the next year? And I think that's a personal choice. But the drones obviously will deny them the choice.
It is hard, Johnny, to deny technological progress, whether it's AI, if it's safer, faster and more efficient. What about maybe a royalty system that would help the Sherpas, you know, whereby you'd need a license to operate a drone and take it from there then and give them some money?
Yeah, perhaps. It'll be difficult to police. You know, there's not too many people up that high. And with the Chinese operators, when I did it in 2023, I was there when those three Sherpa that you referred to died in the Khumbu Icefall. There's not too many Nepali policemen up there checking what's going on, and the Chinese operators are cowboys, let's say, diplomatically.
I understand. Finally, what's your next big challenge expedition with One Step Forward?
Oh, I'm cycling across Turkmenistan in August and running across the Sahara in December.
You need help, Johnny.
Tell me about it.
All right, there you have it. The story of the endangered Sherpas from drones. My thanks to the travel blogger, known worldwide, onestepforward.com. Check it out. Johnny Ward, thank you for joining us on The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Spread the love for Black Founded Brands, yeah. Found here at Walmart, straight into our hands.
The dew for curls, keeping up their shine.
Share the love, yeah, share the love, yeah.
Bold and got my skin glowing so fine.
Black Founded Brands, we're feeling the vibe.
A dozen cousins, flavor, can't wait to dive.
Shop now, show your love.
Discover all our Black Founded Brands at walmart.com/blackandunlimited.